Hello everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 17th of September, 2020. I think a day late. Oh well, it's alright, I've probably been procrastinating a lot. As promised on Monday, we were gonna do this episode. Obviously, we drop our show twice a week. Today, obviously, we're talking almost all about Apple's devices they've announced at their event. It was a bit ironic seeing that people are literally mad that there are no iPhones announced. One person was a bit like, "Where are the iPhones?" I mean, there was clear outrage, but I think a lot of people saw it coming. I mean, iPhones really are the big ticket item, and obviously you can't screw that up. And they weren't ready before the mid-September deadline. I mean, it's not just me. It's not me second guessing it. This is basically what I've been hearing from a lot of sources, or I've been hearing in reports. It's not just me saying this and obviously bringing up excuses. I really mean it. Like, they couldn't get the iPhones on time, like, based on what I've heard. And they're pretty accurate given how they've kind of spot on, guessed a lot of things right. So that's something to note here. So while Apple did not really announce new iPhones, or while I've been guessing the AirPods Studio or the AirTags or the other sort of things that I've been thinking about, they did release, however, some brand new devices, brand new iPads and Apple Watches, which are really good for what they are, frankly. Hang on. I think it's time for... You know where we're headed, right? First, obviously, without talking any further, we'll basically get through... the specs of all these devices with our specs alert. Bring it on.
Specs alert.
So this is our specs alert. We're gonna spend the next couple of minutes talking about the specifications of all new iPads and Apple Watches. Yes, I have S at the end of both of them because there are plenty of new tablets and smart wearables from Apple. The first one we'll get to is the iPad Air 4th generation is a tablet computer made by Apple Incorporated in Cupertino, California, USA. The iPad Air 4, as we'll call it for the next couple of minutes, has a A14 Bionic CPU running on which is a 64-bit architecture made on a 5-nanometer process, the first of its kind in the industry, along with a neural engine AI processor to help process artificial intelligence tasks. As for the display, the iPad Air 4 has a 10.9-inch liquid retina display, which actually is roughly 10.86 inches, but obviously the display has rounded corners, so it's roughed out to 10.9 inches approximately, with a resolution and the display is IPS, with a resolution of 2360 by 1640 pixels at 264 pixels per inch, or PPI, with a P3 color gambit, and it supports True Tone to show actual colors and to obviously adjust the overall screen contrast during daylight and much, much more. And obviously the display is fingerprint resistant, has oleophobic coating, and is fully laminated and is anti-reflective, and has got anti-reflective coating with 500 nits of brightness and support for the Apple Pencil second generation. Aside from that, it has stereo speakers, dual microphones, Wi-Fi 6 built-in, dual band Wi-Fi 6 with Bluetooth 5, along with almost all flavors of gigabit class LTE. And obviously, this is on the cellular models. You can do Wi-Fi calling, and also the 4G built-in to the iPad Air 4 will process data, and also can support eSIM out of the gate. Along with that, it can do Wi-Fi, digital compass, and iBeacon location tracking. It's got a Touch ID sensor right on the power button, along with sensors including 3-axis gyroscope, accelerometer, barometer, and ambient light sensor. Apple Pay is supported. However, you can't do contactless NFC payments, but you can do payments on apps and on websites that support Apple Pay, and also it can do Siri. The interesting thing is that the iPad Air 4 generation comes with USB-C compared to Lightning, which is a welcome change. For the battery, the iPad Air 4 generation has a 28.6 watt per hour rechargeable lithium polymer battery, good for 10 hours of surfing the internet on Wi-Fi or watching video, which is decent. And on cellular models, you can browse the web for up to 9 hours on a single charge. It'll come with iPadOS 14 included, along with all the usual built-in apps. I mean, it is quite a nice tablet, not gonna lie. So, assuming you probably care about the camera, even though nobody uses the camera on the iPad, it comes with a main 12 megapixel sensor, f1.8 aperture, with 5 element lens, that's all put together, obviously with focus pixels. Apparently this is the same sensor from the iPad Pro. So that's not a bad thing, and you can record videos at up to 4K 60 frames per second, and there's a front camera good for FaceTime in HD. You can record videos at 1080p at 60 frames per second, and aside from that, FaceTime is supported in places where FaceTime is available. That's probably self-explanatory. Oh, and aside from having USB-C, it'll come with a 20 watt USB-C power adapter, basically good for fast charging for a tablet. The iPad Air comes in two storage sizes of 64 gigabytes and 256 gigabytes of storage, and come in five gorgeous colors: silver, space gray, rose gold, green, and sky blue. Aside from that, the iPad Air will start from $599. Obviously, local prices where you live, that will depend on taxes, shipping duties, and other charges that obviously are not included in the usual US MSRP. So do check with your local retailer or reseller on final pricing. Finally, aside from that, the iPad Air 4 generation is expected to release later next month in October. So, definitely fun times ahead. The next device to have unveiled is the 8th generation iPad, simply called the iPad. The 8th generation iPad comes with a A12 Bionic processor running on 64-bit architecture. Correct me if I'm wrong, built on a 7 nanometer process and comes with a pretty decent neural engine coprocessor. It has a 10.2 inch retina display that is also IPS and is roughly 2160 by 1620 pixels at 264 pixels per inch with 500 nits of brightness, and has fingerprint resistant oleophobic coating. And can support the first generation of Apple Pencil, the basic Apple Pencil that you'll get. For a lot of people who are buying this iPad, it's obviously quite affordable. It comes with a smart connector and lightning connector, and there is just a Touch ID sensor on the front, so that's just keeping that in mind. Aside from that, again, assuming you care about cameras, there's a 8 megapixel back camera with f2.4 aperture and a whole bevy of specs that you probably have seen on the iPhone already, along with 1080p video recording at 30 frames per second, a bit toned down from, say, the iPad Pros, which can record at 4K 60. Here you could only record up to 1080p at 30 frames per second. Along with a front FaceTime camera, you'll be able to take 1.2 megapixel selfies. Obviously, the sensor has f2.4 aperture and records video at 720p HD, good enough for FaceTime video calls and obviously other video and conferencing calls. It supports AC Wi-Fi, dual band AC Wi-Fi with MIMO technology, Bluetooth 4.2, and obviously gigabit class LTE and eSIM. So you're probably getting a few years previous. I mean, what was high end a few years ago now at a much lower price. You get as for sensors, you get a touch ID sensor, 3-axis gyroscope, accelerometer, barometer, and ambient light sensor. So it comes with a built-in 32.4 watt per hour rechargeable lithium polymer battery. Again, good for charging up to 10 hours. Good for 10 hours of use, browsing the web on Wi-Fi. So good battery. It'll come with iPad OS 14 out of the gate. Now, the iPad 8 Gen comes in 32 and 128 gigabytes of storage and comes in space gray, silver, and gold colors. This is probably the ultimate kind of lower spec iPad, really. And it'll start from $329. Obviously, prices will vary depending on where you live due to taxes and all that good stuff. And the iPad 8 Gen will be available on September 18th everywhere. And it'll start, as I said, from $329. So definitely the iPad to buy if you're on a budget. Moving on to the Apple Watches. As I said, like with iPads, there were two new Apple Watches that have come out. The first one was the Apple Watch Series 6 and the Apple Watch SE. Obviously, we'll probably talk about both in detail, obviously. We'll start with the Apple Watch SE, which is the more affordable option, because I think everyone's kind of curious and interested to know what the SE is like. So let's get right into it. The Apple Watch SE is a wearable made by Apple Incorporated. The Apple Watch SE comes with an Apple S5 system in package dual core processor running on 64-bit architecture, apparently 2 times faster than the S3 system in package, and comes with Apple's W3 wireless chip to obviously help with wireless connectivity. In terms of connectivity, speaking of connectivity, the Apple Watch SE with the cellular model can run on LTE and UMTS networks. 4G would work out of the gate. And runs on 802.11bg and Wi-Fi, no Wi-Fi AC or Wi-Fi 6, but can do Bluetooth 5.0 out of the gate. It has a built-in rechargeable lithium-ion battery that can run up to 18 hours. Obviously, there's no raw figure, but you can charge it with a magnetic charging cable. Speaking of display, the Apple Watch SE features a 44mm 368 by 448 pixel resolution display with a rough size display area of 977 square meters, with a 40mm variant coming in at roughly 324 by 394 pixels at roughly 759 square millimeters square display area. Sizes come obviously with a Retina LTPO OLED display with 1,000 nits of brightness. Now, if we're talking about wearables and smartwatches, we probably have to talk about the sensors and stuff that comes on it. The Apple Watch SE has GPS and GNSS or GLONASS for if you don't want to use GPS. Has a compass, an always-on altimeter. Has water resistance of roughly 50 meters, which is good. Second generation optical heart sensor. You have access to international emergency calling, emergency SOS. So if you kind of fall out, then you can press a button and save yourself. It has an accelerometer with up to 32 G forces with fall detection, a gyroscope, an ambient light sensor, a 50% louder speaker, a microphone can detect noise, works with Apple Pay, including NFC, can do GymKit if you want to tap your treadmill and get data from it and complete your circles with that, and has on both variants, the GPS and cellular models, it comes at 30 gigabytes of storage, so you could store tons of music, apps, and fitness data if that takes up a lot of storage. Actually, this part surprised me, 32 gigs. That's more than some affordable phones. Oh well, I digress. It has a ceramic and sapphire crystal back for both variants to help transmit special light. Aside from that, the Series Watch SE, sorry, the Apple Watch SE comes in an aluminium finish, aluminium, depending on how you say it, with silver, space gray, and gold colorways. There's a Nike variant with silver and space gray, albeit with a different watch band, which is kind of sporty. And obviously with the cellular variant, same colorways. So now the Apple Watch SE will be available starting from $279 for the regular GPS variant and $329 for a cellular variant. And it will be available, of course, on September 18th out of the gate. So that was the Apple Watch SE for you. Moving on to the Series 6. The Apple Watch Series 6 is a variable made by Apple. It is of the most advanced Apple Watch yet in this regard. In terms of chipsets, it has the Apple S6 system and package a dual core processor running on 64-bit architecture that is much faster than the previous system and package for the previous Apple Watch. Fun fact, that's getting discontinued as we speak. It has a W3 wireless chip built by Apple to handle cellular connectivity and much, much more. And additionally, a Apple U1 chip to do ultra wideband, obviously object finding and tracking functionality. In terms of connectivity, the Apple Watch Series 6 has all flavors of Wi-Fi except for AC Wi-Fi, running on both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi is supported here with Bluetooth 5.0, and the Series 6 can run on LTE and UMTS networks, which means all kinds of 4G networks will do. It has an 18-hour battery life, a lithium-ion battery that can be recharged using a magnetic cable. In terms of the display, it comes in 44mm and 40mm and 44mm. The 40mm variant has 324 with 394, 40mm display with a resolution of 324 by 394 pixels, roughly 759 square millimeters display area, and has and the 44mm variant has a resolution of 368 by 448 pixels with an overall area of 977 square millimeters. And it is a always-on Retina LTPO OLED display with 1,000 nits of brightness. In terms of sensors, because obviously it's a powerful health tracker, it has GPS and GLOSS NASTEC GNSS, compass, always on altimeter. It's water resistant up to 50 meters. It's got a blood oxygen sensor and electrical heart sensor to measure blood oxygen and ECGs, along with a second generation optical heart sensor. It can also do international emergency calling and emergency SOS, and has an accelerometer with up to 32G forces with fall pressure, fall detection, a gyroscope, ambient light sensor, obviously a 50% louder speaker, a microphone to measure noise. It can do Apple Pay, Gym Kit, and has 32 gigabytes of storage, and has a ceramic and sapphire crystal back. The most interesting thing, however, is the overall colors and finishes you can get it in. So the Series 6 comes in aluminium, stainless steel, and titanium. The aluminium Series 6 comes in silver, space gray, gold, blue, and finally product red for the first time. Stainless steel, obviously in silver, graphite, and gold, and titanium, which is in just natural titanium and space black. Obviously, stainless steel and titanium will be very, very expensive, so keep that in mind. If you're looking to buy that, it'll not be $400. Probably be way more than that. The GPS cellular model, that's for both GPS and cellular models. Whereas the basic GPS model will only come in silver, space gray, and gold, blue, and product red aluminium finishes. And obviously, there'll be an Apple Watch Nike edition that just comes in aluminium. Obviously, that'll be around $400 to start with. And a Hermes edition, which is in stainless steel. Overall, this is a dramatically powerful Apple Watch, and it'll start at roughly, let's just find this here. The GPS variant will be starting for $400, and the GPS plus cellular variant will start from $500. Prices may vary depending on where you live, as always. And Series 6 will be available, it's probably available this Friday too, from September 18th. So definitely, if you're looking to buy a bigger, better smartwatch, now's the time to do so. So that was the Apple Watch Series 6 for you. Now let's get on to regular talking. So all in all, really, Apple has, although they haven't released any iPhones, they have come out of the gate, obviously gunning firing all cylinders with their iPads and Apple Watches. It was really about these devices, and they're kind of important. Now, I think the Apple Watches, let's start with the Apple Watch though. Quite a dramatic upgrade, really. A bit more power with the Series 6. And you can now measure blood oxygen. Now, there's the obviously usual, obviously towards the beginning when they start talking about Apple Watch, there's the usual, you know, Apple Watch is saving a bajillion lives, as if, well, seems like, it's weird, you know, like, brands have copied a lot of things about Apple Watches, the design, features, the rings. I haven't copied one thing, and that is the power of the device to save lives, you know. I think that's just what Apple can do, pretty much, because they have such tightly integrated software, and they have kind of ironed out the software and stuff, and they could offer such a really cool feature set, including the ability to save lives by detecting wacky irregularities like high heart rate and, signs that you probably have a stroke and stuff. That's crazy, you know. But now you can measure your blood oxygen on top of measuring your ECG. The Series 5 lets you measure your blood, can let you do electrocardiogram out of the gate. Obviously not available in all territories due to regulatory reasons. But now, this year, you can also measure your blood oxygen, which is a very important and quite crucial measurement of your health. I'll just bring this up here. Oxygen saturation, SpO2, represents the percentage of oxygen being carried by red blood cells from the lungs to the rest of the body, and indicates how well this oxygenated blood is being delivered throughout the body. And obviously, they brought up the kind of coronavirus situation in the sense that there are also this new feature of blood oxygen. Obviously, when you start measuring blood oxygen, you can get a good idea of whether the person is suffering from coronavirus. In fact, so much so that Apple is working with investigators at the Ted Rogers Center for Heart Research and the Peter Munk Cardiac Center at the University Health Network, quite prestigious research organizations in North America. And also, obviously, if we're talking about COVID-19, they're obviously working with folks like the Seattle Full Study at the Broadman Battey Institute for Precision Medicine and faculty from the University of Washington School of Medicine to analyze data and see if there are any signs in one's heart, bloodstream, and also blood oxygen stream to show if they're suffering from COVID-19 or their symptoms of it. I think it's kind of awesome that the technology has become that advanced that it could help not only detect, potentially COVID-19, mind you, whilst other quite fatal health. There are a lot of diseases and conditions. Obviously, one, people can't do much. No amount of money can save you from it, but obviously, if someone can, kind of warn you from ahead, you could take precautions, and it's quite a radical, it's a pretty big industry. Wherein health tech is one element of health tech is really early detection, which is kind of important. They say prevention is better than the cure, they say. So this is just one of those features they're adding in terms of strengthened early detection. So it's really saving lives. Overall, in terms of performance, it's a tad bit faster, obviously. It's got always on retina display, which is kind of awesome, so you could see your watch face when it's obviously in the background. It has an always on altimeter, which is kind of cool. But aside from the health features and the a bit more technology, obviously, there was the really cool bit of family setup. Now, Apple Watches have become quite popular, and for all the right reasons. They're quite solid wearables, and everyone loves to have one. And also, there are things you could do with Apple Watch, track people's health and fitness and exercises and where they are, and you can call them, and it's awesome. But here's the problem. One Apple Watch could connect to one iPhone. And so they kind of remedied that out with the feature called Family Setup. So you can have multiple Apple Watches connected to a single iPhone, which is pretty, pretty awesome. And also, if you're obviously handling your kids' Apple Watches, you can control who they talk to. You could track them. It's kind of good for those hypersensitive parents who are always worried about their kids going into the wrong hands. So that's that. And it has really cool new watch faces. I mean, normally, I'm going to be honest with you, and I think I'm not that kind of guy who gets excited with watch faces, but really, they pumped out some pretty cool new watch faces, including a Memoji one. Not sure if that's a big deal, but really, really nice to have Memoji. There's some people who love to have Memojis everywhere. I mean, it's quite a popular feature from the looks of it. But and have I forgotten? There is a braided solo loop, which is really cool. It's basically an elastic rubber, but it's actually a band. It's one of those, why hasn't anyone thought of this before? I haven't reviewed this, I can't tell you how it feels, but it's, you know, it's like those elastic bands you used to put on your wrist, you know, when you get those for charity and stuff, there's like this rubber band, you stretch it in, you get it on marathons and stuff. Imagine you cut out that part and put an Apple Watch and boom. So pretty cool. And also have a braided solo loop, which is pretty cool, mind you. So and yeah, the fact that it's going to be from $399 and obviously a cellular model from $499, which is interesting. It's still quite a lot of money for an Apple Watch, but it's good value for money once you realize what you could do with the Apple Watch and how much it'll save your life. But if $399 is a lot of money, oh well, there's always the Apple Watch SE. Obviously the SE, you know it, iPhone SE, you know, the whole game. The Apple Watch SE, obviously Apple's new affordable Apple Watch. It's weird enough, I mean, I heard the rumor before with the Apple Watch SE that this was going to be replacing the Apple Watch Series 3, but they're still keeping a Series 3 with the SE. I don't know why, but oh well. But if you look a little closer at the spec sheet, the only thing that the Apple Watch SE is missing is that always-on display, blood oxygen detection, and ECG measurement, which, if you really want it, I mean, you should pay the extra $100 for those features. But really, the Apple Watch SE is that Apple Watch that you just gotta have no matter what's happening on Earth. Like, you just gotta have an Apple Watch no matter whether you want health tracking or not. You don't care about fitness, you want an Apple Watch, you want to look, it's gotta be stylish. Actually, the annoying thing is that the Apple Watch Series 6 simply has a lot of colorways and finishes, whereas the SE just comes in aluminium, which is a bit annoying, but it is affordable. You get a stylish Apple Watch for what it is. The Apple Watch SE is quite affordable, but more than everything is the Apple Watch to get if you really are tight on budget. You just want an Apple Watch. You want it on your wrist. It's quite famous and all that good stuff. So if you notice my lack of excitement, I mean, I don't have an Apple Watch, so I mean, I can't understand the excitement, but it's good for those who really want an Apple Watch. But didn't want to spend the extra dough for those extra features, which potentially are life-saving. Then there was the iPad Air, fourth generation iPad Air 4, which was, I think it was one that went deep down. I felt went gaga over, because it is such a powerful tablet. It's obviously a step down from the iPad Pro, which has LiDAR sensors, crispier display, high resolution display, beefier cameras. You miss out on those features, but the iPad Air, you still get a lot of performance. It's really, I'd say, the iPad, the all absolutely the balls to the wall sorts of like iPad Air that you should get if you are if you need an iPad that is fast, but you don't want to pay a lot of money, but can be a computer for you. And then there's the iPad Air, obviously, to speak of. It has a 10.9-inch display. Now the interesting thing is it comes in five different colors, which is really sweet, and has a Touch ID sensor on the I mean where the power button is, which is pretty awesome. If they can do it on the iPad, hopefully they can do it on the iPhone, which is really awesome. It has a Liquid Retina display, but it's only at 60 hertz, which is a bit annoying. But honestly, you're not gonna miss it, frankly. I mean, if it's a bit if it's gonna feel a bit slow, then oh well, that's just you probably got a bit used to the 120 hertz display. But man, you get it's a pretty premium experience for the money, for what it is. It has USB-C, mind you, which is quite a radical, frankly speaking. And stereo speakers. I mean, this is the iPad to get if you want to spend $600 on an iPad, but you don't want to, you know, break the bank really. But if $600 is too much money, there's always the $329 iPad and brand new one, and which is the 8th generation iPad. Has the A12 Bionic now, which is makes it a tad bit a whole lot faster than the previous iPad. I'm kind of hoping the display is not doesn't have air gaps or anything funny like that. It's got that kind of old design, but it's kind of nice if you are familiar with the $329 iPad in general. Obviously, it would work with an Apple Watch. I mean, all iPad Apple Pencil, sorry, all iPads would work with the Apple Pencil. Which is cool, but it's kind of nice though. I mean, not gonna lie. Those were your new iPads and Apple Watches. I was about to say iPhones. There were no iPhones really. It was kind of annoying, frankly, that there were no iPhones released. But more interesting, really, what was really caught my eye as a business kind of guy was really Apple's focus on services and the environment, which is, I think, what makes Apple different from the competition. An environment was kind of unique in the sense that the Apple Watches, for example, both the Series 6 and the SE were the first Apple Watches or the first Apple products in general to not have a USB power adapter in the box. I mean, that kind of bumps some folks out, but frankly, we all have USB power plugs everywhere. We already use our, we already probably use the older iPhone charging, plug, power adapters really out of the gate. I mean, let's face it, the lightning cables have broken a lot, but the power adapters have stayed sturdy for a long, long time, which I think speaks to their durability. And probably they were way too environmentally unfriendly, so they probably decided to ditch that in the Apple Watch. I'm hoping they do extend this to other things, not on the iPhone though. That would be too controversial, like the removing the headphone jack, something we really need, but you don't have to take it out. We want to, but we don't. So, yeah, that environmental focus and the fact that they want to go carbon neutral by 2030 is really cool. I mean, but the thing is, everyone in Silicon Valley is looking to go carbon neutral before 2050 now. Google, Microsoft's got into act, and it's not gonna be that hard if there are more sources of renewable energy be done, and there are more ways to kind of, you know, suck out CO2 out of the equation. It's gonna be a hard job, obviously, and surprising, really. But the services part is interesting because the first, I mean. First of all, Apple's launching a subscription bundle. This has never happened before that Apple's offered subscription services for one, but then they're going to bundle it into one service, allowing you to sort of access the best of Apple's sort of offerings, really. So this is called Apple One, and it's a complete subscription bundle. It's basically your Microsoft 365, your Amazon Prime for all the Apple fanboys. It's going to come in two variants. Obviously, there's a third package, but that's for families. So the first package is the individual one, which has all the entertainment services, all the content services, content subscriptions. You get 50 gigs of iCloud storage, Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, and Apple Arcade out of the gate, all for $14.95. You're technically saving like $5 to $8, depending on where you live. or for an Apple One individual subscription. And it is premier in countries where obviously the two extra services in question are available. So you get the content subscriptions along with Apple News Plus and Apple Fitness Plus with 2 terabytes of iCloud storage, which is pretty awesome. I mean, not gonna lie, I mean, Apple's gonna make a hell of a lot of money because there's, for one, it's Apple. I mean, it's easy for people to get a subscription to an Apple service because they see a utility in that. And there's greater tie-in because of the ecosystem. And it's more seamless. It's probably a way for Apple to strengthen the ecosystem. And then there is Apple Fitness Plus, which was kind of interesting in the sense that it was sort of Apple's sort of own fitness workout service. And it was interesting how they had integrating sort of the your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple TV, your Apple Watch, and obviously workout videos, sort of, which have been around for the longest time ever, but it's all stitched together and vertically integrated into sort of this, it speaks to the power of the Apple ecosystem, ability to offer the kind of experiences that the competition cannot really offer, you know, really deeply integrating the Apple Watch, getting data from it, and then stitching it with workout videos, and then the workout data, you know, whatever your heart rate, mixed up with workout video. It's kind of cool. I mean, I'm sure there are other their products like it, like the Peloton, but really the difference is really that it's Apple doing it, and you know, it's Apple's gear. I mean, it's one of those genius products. It's like, why hasn't anyone thought of this before? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, overall, what Apple's announced, no iPhones though, sadly, but well, there's always the iPhone keynote that will probably happen next month soon, so that's going to be the one to look forward to. Moving past this time flies event, really, it was just simply about the iPhone and the iPad and the Apple Watch. Can't seem to forget the iPhone always. It's such an iconic product. Everyone wants to know what the next iPhone is going to be like, because that's what we're going to be getting after all. But we haven't even seen the AirPods Studios. But apparently, today, a report came out in Mac Rumors, and it surfaced on Twitter. It leaked in full. Yeah, the AirPods Studios, they look kind of funky and funny. They have that design that's basically, someone said looks a bit like Vilker and Bauken's headphones. They look nice though. They look a bit, I don't know how I feel, it's quite divisive. It's pretty Apple-y, you know, with the edges and the kind of the, you know, the corners and stuff, but it's got that texture of a HomePod, really. It looks nice though. I mean, kind of, it looks kind of comfortable to wear, and apparently there's going to be 2 versions of it. Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, he previously stated that the AirPods Studio will come in 2 variants, a high-end version and a sport version. The sport version will be lighter and more water resistant and sweat resistant, so that's something to definitely look forward to. It got leaked already. I'm sure we're all excited. I mean, I hope it doesn't look like this. It's probably much better than it, but oh well. I mean, can't wait for what Apple could be releasing soon. So, yeah, I mean, truly is fun to talk about. So, I mean, it's been so. What do I think, really? What should you get? Let's sum this up here. And obviously, before we finish up this pretty long episode already, quickly. What should I get? What should I buy? What you would recommend? If we're talking about from the iPads and the Apple Watches, if we're talking about the Apple Watch SE Apple Watch highly recommended. If you just want an Apple Watch, you don't care about the extra features or the ability to track your health and stuff, it's definitely highly recommended. You just get everything that the Apple Watch is known for, and you're getting good value for money here. The Apple Watch Series 6 is good value. Not a good value, really. It's quite advanced. It's quite a powerhouse for what it does. The iPads, really, the iPad Air, highly, just get that. I mean, it's so good. If I had money, I'd probably get the 4th gen iPad Air maxed out. It's really the best it's the best iPad in between the Mini and the Pro and even the basic iPad. It's toned down from the iPad Pro. You lose some things out, like the higher refresh rates and the LiDAR sensor, but let's be frank, who uses those set features? Who uses the LiDAR sensor? If you work in R&D, if you do R&D work or research, you highly use the LiDAR sensor, but aside from that, for everyone, if you want a fancy iPad, the iPad Air is the iPad to get. Highly recommend that. For the $329 iPad, I mean, you might as well get a Chromebook. So that's that. Anyways, that was the podcast. I mean, we just talked all about the Apple event and all about what Apple released. That's all we had time for, really. It was super long, but I mean, I'm obsessed with Apple stuff. I mean, I own a few Apple devices and I love the ecosystem, really. I mean, it's just, they think differently. And they stitch hardware and software and services together. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So, yeah, I mean, if it's really long, forgive me for that. So that was the podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening right now, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts right now, if you're using that on your iDevices, please leave a review. That'll help with the visibility and stuff. Anyways, thank you for listening. Till Monday, thanks for listening. Bye. Ciao. Bye. Ciao.